frightening. You see right through the mess inside me. And you call me out to pull me in. You tell me I can start again. And I don't need to keep on hiding. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go. No matter what I do. And it's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. It's so like you to keep pursuing.
Good morning, His Tabernacle. How are we feeling? Awesome. I'm just going to ask everybody to stand up and come towards the altar. We're going to celebrate in Jesus this morning. Amen. How many of you excited to praise your God this morning? He's done so many great and mighty things.
You can give your king this morning. We don't want to give shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free. Yeah.
Who He has set free is free indeed.
No more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free. He's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
He's holy.
Oh, imagine what it would look like if you lost control? Can you imagine what would happen in your life if all of a sudden you actually gave up control to the Holy Spirit? You might stand, you might sit. Some of you have never lifted your hand. Some of you have never expressed. Some of you have never just allowed yourself to express your passion for Jesus. You know, I challenge you. There comes a time when you got to finally say, I don't care what people think. I don't care what people say. My God deserves all that I have. Listen, I remember in Bible school. I remember in Bible school. This guy walked up to me during a concert. And he said, the Holy Spirit told me to just release the anointing in your life. He just turned around and he walked away. No, he didn't do anything. He said, later he came to my room and he said, I'm sorry. He said, I really was supposed to give you a hug and just release the anointing. And I said, well, you know, if God said it once, he'll do it again. It was weeks later, man, all of a sudden, he came up and he gave me a hug. And let me tell you something. I lost control. I was dancing all over that place. And listen, you've never seen a bad dancer before until you've seen your pastor. But you know, I could care less. I did not care. There came a time when you just are unabashed. You are willing to just worship Jesus with everything that's inside of you. And when you do that, there is a release that not one person on this planet can explain. You know, one of the, not this song, but the song before, it says, I want to show my love. Can you imagine being married and your spouse never saying they loved you? Or they never gave you intimacy. They never held your hand. They never looked you in the eyes. They never expressed with their mouth what they thought about you. We tell you, that's a very short relationship. It's not going to last long. And with Christ, he longs to hear that you love him. He longs to hear that you need him. He longs to have you worship him. You see, we were created to worship him. And when we show him, listen, the reason you raise your hands is simply you're showing what's happening on the inside. I surrender, Jesus. I give it all to you, God. Lord, I don't want to hold anything back. And man, there comes a time when you can't even sing. How many of you can't sing a lick? You know you shouldn't join the choir. Amen. That's me. But I don't care. I'm going to sing as loud as I can. Josiah Skinkle's really funny. He says, Pastor, when you sing in the microphone, it goes out to the foyer. We ask them to turn it off. But I don't care. Because he deserves my worship. He's risen from the dead. He's alive inside of me. He's a good God and he loves me. He cares for me. If I pray, he answers me. And I am unashamed. I'm unashamed. I want more. I want more. I want more. I want more.
Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We love you so much. God, we ask that you put a fire down in our spirit. That God cannot be quenched by man, cannot be quenched by sin, cannot be quenched by friends, cannot be quenched by our circumstances. But God so overwhelms us that it burns up all the dross. And Jesus, our passion for you will increase beyond our even wildest imagination. Lord, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you love us. God is healing somebody at the base of the neck, behind the ear, on the left-hand side. Pain is leaving right now in the name of Jesus. Another individual, not one shoulder, but both shoulders are hurt, and God is healing both of them right now. You start moving them, you'll feel the release of the Holy Spirit and miracle happening in your shoulders. There's another individual on the right jaw all the way down to the chin line. God is healing you there. There's one more individual down on your foot. God is healing your left ankle in Jesus' name. Start moving around. You'll feel the release of the Holy Ghost and the miracle-working power of God. Jesus, we just cannot thank you enough. For Lord, when we show our passion towards you, you release your passion in us. So God, we thank you that your goodness is yea and amen. And that you love us beyond our wildest mindset. So Jesus, today, we are unafraid, unashamed to say, we love you. Come on, tell Jesus one more time how much you love him. Come on, tell Jesus one more time how much you love him. On your way back to your chair, make sure you tell five people you don't know, I am unashamed and I love Jesus. Come on, go find five people you don't know. Say, I am unashamed and I love Jesus.
Had water baptisms here in the main sanctuary during the 9 a.m. and the 11 a.m. service. So hop online, get signed up, or sign up at the hub.
Hey ladies, something exciting we got starting July 13th just for you. Every Thursday night, 7 p.m., No More Hurt class is going to be starting, taught by Pastor Rhonda. You want to make sure that you come out. Again, any lady, you're invited. July 13th, starting at 7 p.m. Be there.
If you have a heart for outreach, we have an exciting opportunity for you. Starting this Monday, July 10th, we're going to be going out into our community during our Parks program. On Mondays from 11:30 to 1 p.m., we'll be at Blandford Park. And Tuesdays, 11:30 to 1 p.m., we're going to be at Grove Park. So come out, get involved, and let's bless our community.
Awesome. Well, good morning, family. Wow, that was worse than first service, and we thought they were bad in first service. We're so happy to be here. Actually, I want to share a testimony with you really quick, because we're in a place where we serve a mountain-moving God. Just during meet and greet, 2 weeks ago, I prayed for a little girl. Her name was Miracle, and she was 10, and she had done something to her foot, and she had a boot on it. And her mom brought it to me, and so I got to pray for her, and I said, I want you to know Jesus is going to heal you. Do you believe it? And she said, yes. The next day, her mom said she was running around with no boot on. She's 10 years old. We serve a mountain-moving God. So if you're watching via live stream, I want you to put your seatbelt on, get ready, because you're going to hear a word today that is going to change your life. And we're so excited. And so if you're a guest in this place, would you just raise your hand? We have a guest packet that we want to get to you to bless you. Yes,
excuse
can
me,
we give them?
Me. Can you
no,
say that?
No,
can you say that one more
no,
time? Because
I can't.
We couldn't understand what you
I
said.
I can't. Sorry. Can we give them a round of applause? Pastor Spencer has to learn that it's funny the first time, but the second time it's not so funny. So after two services, it's not really funny anymore. But so if you're a guest, we want to welcome you. Right to my left, your right, we have a guest reception right after service with coffee, snacks. You get to meet the pastoral team, and we get to kind of tell you what we're about. Then I want to talk to you and encourage you about the Next Steps program. That is a program that we have weekly. There are two steps. There's step one, which is rock solid faith, and we have step two, which is a class adding on to rock solid faith. Now, if you are in step one, we have it on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Tuesday nights is at 7 p.m. with Pastor Spencer. Wednesday morning is with Pastor Dan at 9 a.m. And Thursdays are with Pastor Shannon Palko at 6 p.m. It is an awesome, awesome class. And then on Tuesdays at 7 p.m., if you are in step two, which means that you finished step one, we have spiritual warfare with Pastor Obina Igbo. And so we're super excited about that. So we're excited. As you saw, we have baptism next week. I want to encourage you, get signed up. But today, right after second service, how many of you have heard of Uproar? I mean, I think that's kind of become a household name, but if you want to get involved, and maybe you're sitting there and you're like, I haven't signed up, or I'm not part of it, that's okay. Right after service, we have a team meeting. We want to encourage you, come. Be part of what God's doing with our young adults and our youth. It's going to be awesome.
And just quickly, we also have sign-ups for the fair right out there. If you want, we have a booth, and over 30,000 people come through the fair every year. And we have a booth that we just love on people and give stuff out. And if you would like to sign up to help out with the fair, it's right out there. There's different time slots that you can choose from. And now, most importantly, today is the Awaken Monthly Service. It's at 5 p.m. this month. It's kickball, slip and slide. It is going to be so much fun. So if you're between the ages of 18 and 30, can you just lift your hand up for us? And I said this first service, but if you identify between the ages of 18 and 30, that doesn't count. I need to see your ID, you know, 18 to 30 years old. We're having an awesome service. Jody, you're not telling the truth, but she'll be here. And it's going to be amazing time. Show up at 5 p.m. sharp. We're starting the game. We're going to have a full service afterwards, and it's going to be an amazing time. So I want to encourage you, between the ages of 18 and 30, we want to see you there. And Pastor Rhonda, she's going to come and share the tithe and offering with us real quick.
Awesome. God is so awesome. We sang it this morning. But if I could just have Dustin come out. I'm watching him as I'm singing in worship, and he's completely healed. Now, you didn't see him when he came in. He came in with a crutch and all wrapped up, and he's back there playing the drums. He's like, I'm not sure how it's going to go, but I'm just going to play. And then if you saw him at the end, he got up, and he's like running around. God has completely healed your foot, I'm assuming, right? Because you're running around, honey. Awesome. Joel, his shoulders were healed when I was called out. Amen. And Joy was healed too. Thank you. Healing is in the house this morning. If you need healing for anything, receive it for yourself. cares about every single need, and I'm just going to call mine forth too. So this morning, healing is in the house. But we're entering into the time of tithes and offerings, so we will move on. Not move on from healing, because his presence, whew, that fire that's going on this morning is healing fire in this place. I would receive it if I were you. So each week I come up here and I'm sharing about tithing from the Word of God and teaching the difference between tithing and sowing. But this week, as many weeks, we have a special testimony, and I already got a preview of next week's testimony. Oh my goodness, you need to make sure you're here so you get to hear the financial testimonies that God is doing in the house. So this week, I'm going to allow their lives that have lived the Word of God to share with you this morning for tithes and offerings. This is Karina and Paul. They're our cousins, actually. And they have an incredible life's testimony.
Thank you. Well, first of all, we are tithers. Second of all, before I say anything, I always say, Holy Spirit, tell me what you want me to say. Let it be your words, not my words. So we're not up here for us. We're up here for you. As an example that anybody can do it. So with that tithing, there are many benefits to prosperity. The one that I've noticed is anything that I put my hands to prospers, no matter where it is or what it is. Secondly, God protects our income, and thirdly, he'll generate that income as fast as I want to go, and that is by tithing. Just a quick story. Lately, of course, we moved from Massachusetts. We sold our home, moved over, great expense, transferred to a different job. There was a big reorganization. A couple of managers lost their jobs. A couple got demoted. They had me in a room and they said, we want to make you an offer. And the offer is, we want you to be supervisor over these four offices, and we're going to call it Buffalo. Do you accept or don't you accept? I said, do I have time to think about it? They go, no. I said, yes. He goes, well, yes is good. So they proceeded. The whole point there is, if I'd have said no, I may not have landed on my feet. The biggest point is I went from one office to doing four offices, which has teed me up for even greater responsibility and greater prosperity. So as I prosper those in the workplace, I will also prosper.
And we didn't just prosper just like that. We were sporadic tithers, and it was really, really hard to come before God with confidence and ask for things when we were not tithing consistently. Since we've been tithing consistently and seeding, I didn't really even learn about seeding. I learned a little bit through my daughter, but once we came here, we really got the concept. We started seeding, and God has opened the doors. Honor equals access. And you have to honor God with everything. You have to trust him. If you trust him with your salvation, you can trust him with your money. And he has given us exactly what I wanted for a house. And I was specific. And he gave it even bigger and better than I had ever imagined. So if you want access, you have to honor God.
Just a touch on the sporadic side. It's really true. Sometimes at work, all hell would break loose, and I'd come home. I said, hun, did we pay the tithes? Well, I had to use it for this. Okay, well, we need to get back on track. Well, I'll pay double next week. Well, how are we going to do that? Let's just get back on track. And if you're beginners, the way we started is we just started with 1%, and then we went to 2, and then we went to 3, and then we went to 4. And just keep going. you have to get on board if you want to reap the benefits. Another benefit that happens to me, there's a whole bunch. I'm going to mention this one as far as prosperity goes. Satan is out there to destroy you. He doesn't want you to prosper at all. Any workplace that you're in, there are people that are going to backstab you because if they have jealousy, envy, or they're being manipulated by Satan himself. And people will come to me and say, oh, this guy's saying this, that guy's doing this, this is this. I says, don't worry about it. What do you mean don't worry about it? You're awful calm. Why are you calm? Because God's going to take care of it. I don't have to worry about it. I don't get caught up in the drama. And you know what happens? It all ends up falling back on them. And I just keep proceeding. So that major benefit.
Hallelujah. Awesome. God is the protector. When we get into his financial system, he is the protector of your finances. He takes pleasure in your prosperity. The word of God says he will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. So there's nothing greater than life's testimony of finances and tithing. If you're ready to participate with God's kingdom finances, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. And in this house, it's from the word of God that we declare the covenant promises that come from being a tither and a sower in his kingdom. So Deuteronomy 28 says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They trip me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Clap a little louder than before. I wanna sing a little louder than before. I wanna jump higher than before. I wanna shout.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good? Amen. We're excited. We've been in the middle of a generous campaign. We've had some folks ask us, Pastor, where do we give? What do we give? For those who are fresh in the house, we are a soul-winning church. Turn to someone and say, we are a soul-winning church. At His Tabernacle, we do three things. What do? We love God, we save souls, and we develop leaders. What three things do we do? We And we do that because that is God's will. God loves a soul-winning church. And that's what I love about this house. We are a soul-winning church. We really do care about people. Do you know this house could save $250,000 if we stop saving souls? No? Would that be bad? We could literally save $250,000 a year if we stopped helping people. But what I love about this house is that's not an option. We are a soul-winning church, and we are going to spend whatever it takes to reach as many people for Jesus as we can. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So for those who are fresh in the house, you know what's amazing is we have a three-week rotation in our church. I don't know if you know that or not. But it takes 3 weeks preaching the same thing for everybody to hear what's being spoken. And in this house, we started a generous campaign, and we're believing God for $125,000. Turn to someone and say, with my vision, coupled with the house's vision, I always have provision. And in the principles of the generous campaign, the Bible declares, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Without question, as we sow, we shall reap. So we've asked everybody to be part of the pledging of the generous campaign for 10 weeks. Now I want to explain to you, my wife and I don't talk about this, we do this. This year alone, and I'm just not saying this to honk horns, but above our tithes and offerings, you need to hear that your pastor believes it and doesn't just talk about it. Above our tithes and offerings, my wife and I will give $7,700 this year to reaching souls. Above and beyond our tithes in this house. And we do that because souls are more important than the money. I would much rather, listen, some people would much rather keep that money in their pocket because that's above their tithe. But my wife and I, we know this, that seeing the uproar happen, seeing Rock the City happen, seeing the house being taken care of is more important than padding that $7,700. Plus, we know this principle. If you sow, you shall. If you sow, you shall reap. You see, when you learn these principles, the principles of sowing and reaping, you cannot fail. Tithing is not you what you and I are reaping out of. That is God's. That's the return. The sowing is where we reap. And my wife and I are just glad to say that we don't talk about it in this church. We lead the way in this church. We sow. We sow a lot. And we sow a lot because we believe in the principles and the blessings of heaven. A lot of people have asked me, how are you and your wife so blessed? Do you make massive salary? I don't make massive salary. I make a good salary, but well under what I should be making according to statistics. But the point is it has nothing to do with the money. How many of you know it has nothing to do with the money? We bought our first house making $30,000 a year. How is that possible? Because we were tithers and sowers. And I want to challenge you to be part of the generous campaign. In fact, I'm going to ask if you have not yet received one or filled one out. You should have them in your chairs. If you'll grab them in your chairs, we'd like you to fill them out now because we're believing God to know what we're going to be able to have and work with, and I'm believing that in this house, we're going to have more than enough. Can I hear an amen? What's that? Or if you'd like to do additional, my wife says. That's right. This is what we did. We're doing extra this morning, actually. We're going to give $1,000 extra today. So we're doing that because we're not just asking you to do something we won't do. Can I hear an amen? And we believe in that. So if you will fill that out, we're going to actually receive an offering this morning for that. But as well as last week, your vision shall my vision, coupled with the house's vision, always brings provision. And we gave you last week a vision card. And on the back, it says this, my name. And it says, my vision for my home, my family, my finances, and my church. And that is what you need to fill out now as well as when you come to bring up your generous campaign. We want you to place these right here on this table. And why? My wife and I are going to fast and pray over the vision that God lays on your heart. We're going to fast and pray over all those that are here. If they're not here, we're not going to fast and pray over them. So you need to have them up here before the end of this service. Can I hear an amen? And when we receive the generous campaign offering, let's all stand to our feet. We can do that now. If you'll fill that out. What's that? You want one, dear? Here you go. If you'll fill that out, we're going to have you come and give. If you have your vision card set, make sure you come and bring that as well. We're believing God, if you have nothing to give, that you touch the plate and God will give you something. You got to have faith. Can I hear an amen? You got to have faith to give. Sometimes God asks you to give even times when you don't have a lot. That means that he's going to provide seed to the sower. So if you don't have one of these cards and need one, raise your hand up real quickly. The ushers are in the aisles. Amen. If you have them filled out, how many of you got them filled out? Shout amen. 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 Let's bring them forward. Let's bless the Lord with a vision and seed for the house of God to reach more people for Jesus. Praise the Lord. If you didn't come ready to give, didn't really sit down and pray about what the Lord would have you give in the generous campaign, you can bring them back next week. You can give every week in the offering. Make sure you just write on that generous campaign. If you're watching by live stream, you can give too. I know a lot of you just, I'm going to be blunt with you. Very few people give online, and we have almost 200 to 300 people watching every week. I challenge you to be a giver, not just a taker. And in that, you can actually go to our website, histabernacle.com, and hit generous, and you can be part of the generous campaign. Reaching souls for Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Amen. How many of you love reaching souls for Jesus? How many are glad you're saved? How many of you remember where you came from? Amen. You know, I used to be a timid pastor, and I would never ask for money. I was always afraid to ask for money. And I came to an understanding. I'm not taking this money for me. I'm not putting this money in my pocket. Why should I be ashamed? I'm putting this in for the kingdom. Amen? It's all kingdom money. We've been talking about being a visionary, that if you have no vision, you're lost. Turn to someone and say, I hope you're not lost. You see, if you don't have a vision in your life, you are lost. Truly, a lost person or a blind person has nothing to do with physical sight. It's spiritual sight. Every one of us know that God created us intellectually, that each one of us in this room have been intellectually created by God, and he's designed you. Before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, he said, I knew you. Before he said, let there be light, and there was light, he had a plan for you. You are not an accident. The intellectual design of God means he's planted specific things in your spirit. He's given you certain gifts and certain talents to be able to do a specific thing. Now, a lot of people say to me, well, you know, Pastor, you know, I just don't know what my gift is, and I don't know what my call is, and I don't know why I'm here. And today, I want you to know that we're going to start bringing you to an understanding of how to identify where your giftings lie and where you're supposed to be heading in the process of fulfilling vision in your life. You see, God, when he created you with the gifts and the talents he put within you, he did not put them just in anybody. Hey, let me ask you a question. How many here are just very blunt people? How many here, like, at times crush people with your mouth? Amen. How many here are very sensitive when they do that to you? How many here cry when you see a doggy, a little puppy? Okay. How many here wet yourself when it's time to stand in public and say something out loud? Amen. How many here can stand in front of, it doesn't matter how many people, and just have a blast and laugh and joke, you're the life of the party? Yes. Jody Dykes, that's you? You know, many of us don't realize that we're part of the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is such a powerful principle because it means we're all different. The diversity that God has placed within us is not weakness, but amazing strength. In fact, the gifts that you have, when they're used properly, they enhance not only your life, for we are visionary people serving a visionary God. And in the vision of God, he saw you. And in the vision of God, he planned you. He didn't plan you 300 years ago. He planted you right now for this time and this season. But many believers don't have vision for their life. They're actually more wandering and being controlled by their circumstances, their troubles, and their situations that come in their lifetime. But the Bible declares this, that I walk by faith and not by sight. In him we live and move and have our being. You see, when we truly understand the principles of vision, then we understand even the troubles that come in our way are not a stopping point, but a way through to get to the destination that God has for us. But a person who has no vision, and this is what we see many times in the body, people that have no vision get distracted very easily. They actually stop on the walk and the road to Jesus. They stop many times and are diverted. Why? Because they're lost in themselves. They're not sure the destination God has for them. They're not sure the purpose while they're on this planet. So they're constantly distracted by every problem, trouble, and situation that arises in their life. And they stop the walk. I've had many people have stopped the walk and then have come back later. I thank God they've come back. But the truth is, you should never have stopped in the first place. The reason and the way you don't stop is because you know where you're going. You know, God spoke to my heart many years ago and about what this house was going to look like. What you're sitting in today, I saw a long time ago. What you and I are going to be sitting in, I saw before this building was ever erected. I saw what God's plan was and how many souls are going to be lifting their hands and worshiping the Lord at the same time. I saw how God was going to transition this region by you and I moving in the power of God. I saw all these things. How did I see these? Because it's called vision. It's not because I'm a pastor. I'm a believer. And as God gives every believer a vision and a destination, then there's one thing that is sure and set, and that is that you have a place you're going. When you don't know where you're going, you're lost. Turn to someone and say, I hope you're not lost. Somebody here in your right knee, in the top of the kneecap, you have pain. If you start moving that, you'll see the healing power of Jesus. There's another person on your right foot, on the ball of the foot, on the outside portion, about the second toe in. They have pain just behind that knuckle. God is healing that as well in Jesus' name. I command the spur to go right now in the name of Jesus. So as visionary people, we've got to be individuals that are truly going to be led by the Holy Spirit. These are the children of God who are led by the? These are the children of God who are led by the? These are the children of God who are led by the Spirit of God. You see, when you're a visionary person, this is the great part about being a believer, that you and I are now spiritual people. Turn to someone and say, I'm spiritual. You got to have that spiritual in there. You got to do that spiritual part. I'm a spiritual person. That means it's not just the sight with my eyes that allows me to see, but the sight with my spirit that allows me to see. It's called seeing faith. I can call those things which are not as though they already are, but why would I ever call them if I never saw them? So a person with no vision truly has very little faith because they have no destination in which to activate their faith level to where they could see, call those things which are not as though they already are, so they can ascertain what those things which are not to make them to be, to call those things as Jesus said, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So this is not just a little religious garb about having vision. You have got to have vision in your life. Now, every one of us have gone through different stages and different trials and different motions in our lives. And let's be honest, some of us have gone through very difficult times where it seems to have reshaped us. But I want you to know that God was not surprised by the trauma. God was not surprised when that came into your life. God did not make it happen, for God does not destroy us. God builds us, but God can make all things work together for good to those that are in Christ Jesus. So God can take the bad and work it for good. So God can take the bad that happens and continue to aim you to the vision that he has for your life. Now listen, that person with the right leg and that knee, you need to start moving it because I'm sick or tired of feeling your pain. So please get healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 18 says this, where there is no prophetic revelation, where there is no revelation of God, the people cast off restraints. But happy is he who keeps the law. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says this, as each one has received a gift. Turn to someone and say, I have a gift. Turn to someone and say, you are gifted. Okay, let's move on. I received a gift. Minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Every one of us are gifted. every one of us have specific things in our life. Can you imagine if we were all a toe? How many here have really ugly toes? I mean, really. Your spouse even says, you cover that up, please. Cover that up. You got ugly toes. I'm talking like, you know, when you clean them and you go to the corner of your toe and you clean out that little section that's all stuck up and it smells when you clean that out. I mean, nasty stuff. How many of you have a nose in this place? Everybody got a nose? Everybody sniff? The nose knows. The power of the nose is this, is that the nose is different from the toe. Can you imagine if your toe was on your nose? Come on, you know how ugly that toe is. Your spouse told you to cover it. Can you imagine having to wear a cover over your face because your nose is your toes? Listen, the diversity that we are. The great part is we're not all toes. And thank God we're not all nose. Every one of us are different. Every one of us are special. God gave you gifts. God gave you talents because there's a specific vision that he has for your life. You are here at this point at this time because God's plan is for you. Our Father who art in heaven planned your life intellectually and he put the gifts specifically in your life to do a certain thing for him. You want to gift me? Yes, sir. When you were born, turn to someone and say, when you were born, that means everybody in the room's in good shape. He had already pre-planned it, but while you were in the womb, he placed a garment on you. Now, this garment that you have on you is called gifts and talents. How many of you in this room are really good mechanics? One. We got one mechanic in the whole sanctuary. How many of you can fix something when it's broken? Oh, okay, that's better news. Some of the ladies even raise their hands because some of us men are not gifted there. Amen? How many are good contractors? Terry, I didn't see your hand go up. You're supposed to raise your hand. Thank you. He is a very good contractor. How many of you in this room, you know, you're a really good speaker. You can help people and encourage people and strengthen people. I mean, you don't run it around. In fact, if you've got a wrench in your hand, you're not sure whether to throw it at somebody or. Some of you are really good with money. How many of you are really good with money? Amen. How many of you are really bad with money? Don't raise your hand. What are you, crazy? Every one of us are so diverse, and what's happened in the body of Christ is we've forgotten our diversity, and we have forgotten that God gave us gifts and talents and clothed us with them because specifically you are supposed to do something for him. You see, when we forget this, then we don't look for the vision and the purpose for our life. We just meander and constantly deal with struggle and strife. But God wants to realign us. God wants to apprehend us. And he wants to bring us back to the truth. And the truth will make you free. And that is that God intellectually gave you these gifts and these talents to accomplish something special just for him. Turn to someone and say, you are extremely special for Jesus. This is where the body of Christ gets a little loose. They love God, and there are many people in this house that serve the Lord. There are many people in the house that are doing the will of God. They recognize their gifts and their talents. How many of you here are good with children? You love children, and you love children's ministry. Amen. How many of you are not? How many here in the room, you're great with teenagers? How many here just want to choke them all? All right, yeah. How many here literally can just talk to anybody in the planet? I mean, you're in the neighborhood and all of a sudden you've met three friends. How many here, when you're getting into a crowd, you hide? How can you do both? everybody, you are so important because, listen, everybody has a different job in the kingdom. And when your vision, coupled with the house's vision, brings provision, you'll find that your life will not have lack in it. And I'm not talking money. I'm talking the peace of God. I'm talking knowing that you're doing why and what you're here for. I mean that you have and know the direction of your life. You are not lost, but you have truly been found. And now you're on the path of God's design. Now you're on the path of God's will. The most powerful place for you and I to live inside of is the will of God. But you cannot know the will of God if you don't even know how he made you. My gifts and talents are different from yours. You know when you buy, you know, like that TV set, you know, like the thing, what do they call that? Where you build, you know, the TV stand. Anybody ever buy a TV stand before? Man, I tell you honestly. My wife said, make sure you put this together. So I went to the living room and I took out all these pieces. There's a lot of pieces. And how many of you recognize the directions that that person is challenged? The people making directions is extremely challenged people. And so I think they do it on purpose. They just want to see how much they could laugh at our failure. So here I am, I've got the directions out in front of me, and I've got the screwdriver, and I've got the hammer, I've got the drill, and I've got all this, and I'm staring at all the pieces, and it says to me, run! See, my wife puts those things together in my house. Now, isn't that awesome? What that does is that keeps me from being frustrated. And it makes her happy because she loves to create. But in that, we recognize our gifts within our home. Our vision, God's purpose for you, you must lay hold of. And the best way to do that is at least know the groundwork and how he created you, clothed you, and put on you your gifts and your talents. So let's go through some of those. It's going to be more of a teaching message, and I hope you don't mind, because it really doesn't matter. These are called motivational gifts. If you turn with me to the book of Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 3, it says this. For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. That means, you know, have humility as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, which means if you understand your gifts, it's not that you're better than anybody else. It's not that you compare yourself with anybody else. It's just that your differences build the body, the wholeness, the fullness. Verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. As we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Turn to someone and say, whether you like it or not, you're part of me. No, really, that's really funny because what's happened in the body of Christ is we've created separatism in the body of Christ. Now, what do I mean by that? What's happened is most people are just like it is in the neighborhoods now. How many of you remember back 50 years ago, you knew your neighbors? If you needed some sugar, you went and got some sugar from the neighbor. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You knew their names. You knew their children's names because you yelled it so many times when they ran on the lawn. You even knew their dog's name because of what he did on your lawn. You know, neighborhoods, we knew each other. You know what? 50 years ago in the church world, we knew each other. We spent time with each other. You didn't know everybody, but you got to build relationships, and you got to build friendships, and you got to have people around you that were faith people and not the world people, and it was powerful. But what's happened in the body of Christ these days and how the enemy has worked so powerfully is he's got separatism in the body where most people walk in the front door of the church. They wave maybe at two or three people. Everybody knows Pastor Dan's name. But most people don't even know anybody else's name. We've stopped having relationships in the church. We've stopped building friendships in the church. And what's happened is we've segregated the gifts. Where now people come to church one out of every 3 weeks. So the gifts of God are absent on a consistent basis. If my foot stops working or doesn't show up for a day, let's just say you get up in the morning and your foot says, well, today I'm on a vacation. I'm not gonna work. How many of you ever walked with your foot not working? How many of you know it doesn't work well? You see, this is what's happened in the body of Christ. We've got to this place where the gifts are now and the talents are now being used more for ourselves than they are for God and His kingdom. Let me say it one more time. That the gifts and the anointing that God has given us is being used more for the world than for the kingdom. God did not give us the gifts to use them for ourselves. Amen. Well, you're awful quiet this morning. That means I just got to preach longer. Hallelujah. If the gifts are being used for ourselves, and the number one, we've taken the anointing off of our life, because the purpose for the anointing is to do the supernatural works of God. When our gifts and our talents are anointed by the Holy Spirit, then let me tell you something. Then God will always work supernaturally, whether it be at your job, whether it be at your home, whether it be with your neighbor. And all those gifts that you have will be exploited because God wants to get glory and save souls. But when we use them for ourselves, we step out of the anointing and the gifts are just being used for selfish manners. And the Bible makes that declaration in Romans chapter 12, verse 3. He says, that grace that is given you, that we should think of ourselves soberly and we should be dealt with every member of faith. But as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. For we being many are one body in Christ and individual members one to another. We are to be used by God for each other. So let's talk about these gifts. Are you ready? The number one gift that we find here, it's Romans chapter 12. It says this in verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. Turn to someone and say, you got to use your gifts. If prophecy, let us prophesy to the proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. The very first one that's talked about here is called the gift of prophecy. Now, this is not talking about prophesying. This is actually the word called perceiver. These are amazing people when they're being used in the anointing. Why is that? Because they help but don't kill. You know who these people are. They tell it the way it is. How many of you tell it the way it is? Yes? Oh, Mackenzie, definitely. Just tells it the way it is. Man, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm feeling. I don't care if it hurts you. Deal with it. Anybody know anybody like that? They're concerned. Yes. Her mother said about her daughter. These people that are perceivers are more interested in making sure the truth is expounded upon than worrying about your feelings. The truth is the issue. They tend to have what's called foot-mouth disease. Anybody ever met Peter in the scripture? Peter didn't have foot-mouth disease. Peter had knee-mouth disease. Man, Jesus is always telling him, Remember one time Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And Peter stood up and he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know he did Christ that way too. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. The next chapter, Jesus is walking with the disciple with Peter, and Jesus says, I'm going to go die. And Peter said, you won't die. You won't surely die. And Jesus looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. Peter had this foot-mouth disease where he just said whatever came to his head, whatever came to his mind, and if it's true, it's true. There is no gray matter. You've got to deal with it because the truth is more important than anything else. These are people that are called perceivers. Perceivers are important. Why? Because they keep the body of Christ straight. They keep the body from errancy. That means having wrong doctrine. They make sure that there is truth within the body of Christ. And every perceiver that is anointed by the Holy Spirit, this is what I love about Jesus. Jesus took Peter, and when Jesus took Peter after 3 years, he was a honed man. It wasn't that he was perfect, but God took the hard edges off of Peter so that he could be a perceiver without leaving a trail of dead bodies behind him. The next one is called a person with the gift of service. This personality is one who doesn't ever want to be seen publicly. Kenny Mayhood is probably one of the best examples. Where's Kenny Mayhood? Kenny Mayhood, come here, please. Where is Kenny Mayhood? He's up in the balcony. Yeah, no, come on down, Kenny. Come on. Come on, Kenny. Come thither. You know what he did this time? I used him in the first service. You know what Kenny did? Is he went further away. A person with the gift of service, they don't want to be in the limelight. They see a practical need and they've got to touch it. They don't really care about the spiritual factors. They want to make sure that if there is a situation, they're going to handle that situation. Their hands are going to be to the plow. Here's Kenny. Kenny is a guy that if there is, come on, give Kenny a hand clap.
I'm working upstairs. I'm doing your PowerPoint.
You ate peanut butter. Now I'm hungry. You should have brought me one, Kenny. Kenny just hates being in public. In fact, this really irritates him. That's why I'm doing it. Because I just love tormenting Kenny. He's so much fun. Now, what's really cool about Kenny is Kenny will be here 6 days a week if you need him. Or seven. Have you been here 7 days a week before? Have you ever gotten in trouble at home because of this? You'll find people with the gift of service, if there's a need, they will sacrifice their own family to make sure that the need is taken care of. If you have a problem and you said to Kenny, I've got a problem, Kenny would say, well, you know, I'll help. I'll do whatever I can to be there. And he will be there and he'll help. Why? Because a person with the gift of service is one that says there's a practical need that needs to be accomplished and I need to be there to make sure that it's taken care of. This is Kenny. And how many of you in this room are people of service? You just don't want to be seen in the limelight. You love to help in the background. Nobody's admitting it. You're all going to hell. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can go now, Kenny. The person with the gift of service is so necessary. Why? Because the vision can't get done without the people of service. They're the ones that when the vision is cast, their hands are to the plow, and they're going to get that done no matter what the cost. The next one is the person with the gift of teaching. This is a person who wants details, step by step. You know, you've been around them, that you get up in the morning and they said to you, hey, what's your day like? And you said, I don't know. And then it freaks them out. Why? Because they have their day planned to the T. That is my wife. She is the worst person to go on vacation with. Because you need a vacation from your vacation. Because she has every moment planned. You are moving at every moment. A teacher is one who has great order, step-by-step instructions. Well, you know, what are you doing today? Well, number one, I'm going to do this. Number two, I'm going to do this. And number three, I'm going to. This is how they live. This is how they think. I can't understand it, but this is what they do. They share. They love the Word of God. And man, listen, if you're a teacher in the room, how many of you teachers are in the room? Great. You could care less about my stories, right? Most, it's true, teachers could care less about the nice anecdotes that I give. You know how I, you know, sometimes can be funny, or I try to be? That irritates them. Why? I don't need to hear all the foolishness. Give me the Word of God. Now, many of you might not know it, but I quote probably between 10 and 15 scriptures every single service. I just quote them. I don't give you the direct. I don't tell you where they're located. I don't tell you all the details. I quote the verse. And you know what teachers are saying? Where? Where did you get that verse? I want to look that up to make sure that you're telling the truth. People that are teachers, they want the details. They want to know the truth. And they're going to get to the truth no matter what the cost, because truth is imperative to them. They believe that learning and schooling is the best teacher, that everyone should progress in their education, whether it be spiritual or secular. Thank you, Father. Do you realize that the Father are consistently in your life with the gifts and the talents? He's going to constantly realign you. Because how many of you get disheveled? The next one is called the gift of exhortation. How many teachers are in the room? Let me one time. How many teachers? Very good. Teacher. Very good. The next one's called the gift of exhortation. This is me. These are motivators. They love to talk. in public. Then the life of the party. That's Jody Dykes and I. The life of the party, man. We're there, and man, we just love, you know, just laughing and joking, and we have no problem talking to anybody in the world. A person with the gift of exhortation, when they see an individual that's struggling, they look at them and they say, listen, I know you're struggling, but you're going to make it. And they start cheering them on. You're going to make it. I want to let you know that you cannot fail. I want you to know I'm here for you. They're always encouraging you and strengthening you. Why? Because they don't see you in the problem. They see you out of the problem. They don't see you in your A, B, C, D. They see you in your Z. They see where you want to go. An exhorter is there to encourage, strengthen. They're your greatest cheerleader that you could ever have in your life. They take all your experiences, whether bad or good, and motivate you to do greater things for the Lord. The next one's called the gift of giving. This is a person, you've heard it said, they'll take their shirt right off their back and give it to you. How many of you know somebody like that? They'll give their shirt right off their back. That's a giver. It's an amazing gift. Why is that? Because the givers, they see every situation as an opportunity to sow. They see every situation as an opportunity to be a giver. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about time. I'm talking about talent. I'm talking about finances. You see, they see every opportunity as this great pleasure of being able to be a giver in someone's life. It's not about money to them. They just love to give. You've met people like that. Sadly enough, many of them will give more than they should. My wife is the one who handles the money. You see, as an exhorter, I used to handle the finances. Now, our bills were always paid. They were always on time. But there was never any extra. The reason that is because when there was extra, I really felt that Dick's Sporting Goods needed to be supported. So you can tell that the gift of giving is not my gift. So one day, my wife said, why don't I handle the money? I said, sure, take a shot at it. I said, you know, we pay our bills. She goes, that's great. Let me take a shot at the money. So she did the money, and she says, oh, my goodness, we got so much left over. She said, well, you know, you could buy a Harley if you want to buy a Harley. I says, we could. Now, my wife who handles the money, she's also dangerous when we go out to, like, to Bishop's Church or to go to Brother Ted's ministry or to go to an evangelistic ministry, because usually we'll come back from that ministry with zero in our account. Why? Because they pose a need. She sees the money in the account, and she says, dear Lord, this is the finest opportunity we have to sow into the kingdom of God. Zero. The best part about givers is they know the principles of sowing and reaping. They know the principles that if they give, that they can't outgive God. Can I hear an amen? And they look for that opportunity to give in every situation. The amazing part, though, is they despise with the mishandling of money. If they see you mishandle your finances or the church mishandle their finances, they actually will stop giving because they cannot in their mind rectify or validate the principle that you are not working positively for God. The next one's called the gift of organization or administration. These are the big picture people. They see the end result. Listen, I'm trying to hustle through this. They make sure all the details are in order for the vision. No, this is not me. We hired Carla for this. Glory to God. I'm the kind of guy, because I'm an exhorter, I see an opportunity for someone to be blessed, and I say, okay, let's do it. And Carla says, no, we've got four other events planned for that day, Pastor. In fact, some of you have gotten angry because if you've come to get an appointment with me, I said you need to go see Pastor Obina Igbo. And they say, well, why? You're an untouchable pastor. No, it's because I'm not administrative. So you know what that means? I many times have had three people standing out at my office because I promised everyone to see them at the same time. Steve, can I get a validation here? Amen. He came one time, there are two guys standing out there. And I said, oops. Why? Because it's not my gift, but an administrator. You've met them, man. Their life is in order. You know who they are? They're messed up. They used to make their beds when they were kids. How many of you used to make your beds when you were kids without your parents saying anything? Yeah, I know. I know you. My mom made my bed till I was 18 years old. My wife said same things to her. Okay, let's move on. administration is so powerful because it keeps everything in order. And they're very loyal people. They're loyal to the vision. They're loyal to the passion. The next one is the gift of mercy. These are the feelers. They walk into church on a Sunday and they look around. They go, I see your hurt. I see it. I feel for you. Well, I'm not that person. So, you know, all of a sudden, as an exhorter, I'm going, hey, you're going to make it. Yes, you can do it. A person with the gift of giving says, how can I help? The perceiver says, you got into the problem, get out of the problem. The person with the gift of service says, hey, do you need help? See, every gift is so diverse, every gift is so unique, but every gift works together to build the body of Christ. You and I are so powerful. Listen, this person with the gift of mercy, it's so interesting. When you see somebody, a perceiver marry a person of mercy, you know now you have a war going on. Hallelujah. They feel, they protect. You know what's amazingly a bad quality is they usually get offended very easily. A person with the gift of mercy, they get offended because they're always cheering on the people that are the underdogs. So what they do is this, is they get offended not just for themselves and they leave a church, but they get offended for somebody else and they leave a church. The problem is this, is that they never become settled or have the opportunity to take their vision and couple it with the of vision and therefore have provision. So people with the gift of mercy are extremely important because we need them because people hurt. But the underside or the bad side is when they're constantly offended and walking away from God or walking away from the vision of the house. Can I hear an amen? People with this gift need to have a thick skin and a soft heart. See, every one of these gifts are so important to this church. Every one of you need to know what your gifts are. Who here is a perceiver? Amen. Come on, who's a perceiver? Say amen. Amen. Who here is a gift of service? Who here is a teacher? Who here is an exhorter? Amen. Who here is a giver? Amen. Who here is an administrator? Who here is the gift of mercy? Thank you, because I need realignment. I had the gift of mercy for a few minutes. Hallelujah. Watch this. Many of you didn't raise your hand. And I'm just assuming it's because you know your gift, but you didn't want to be known. But the other thing is you might not know your gift, so we have something for you. The ushers right now are passing out a spiritual motivational gift test to you that you can take home and take. In fact, when you take it, we want you to bring it back in, or you can email it to Pastor Ebo. They're going to put the email address up on the screen for you. Pastor Ebo at histabernacle.com. We want everyone to fill one of these out. Why is that? So that you can know your gifts and talents that God has given you specifically, so then you can start praying, Lord, what is the vision, the direction for my life? Because I know my vision, coupled with the house's vision, will always bring provision, and therefore, God, I will not live in lack in any area of my life. So when you fill that out, we either want you to email it to Pastor Ebo at histabernacle.com. There it is up on the screen. Pastor Ebo at histabernacle.com. Or you can bring it next week and put it in the offering plate. Or you can do something that is very techie. You can go to and text 555-888 and write in my gift. Here's the number again. You'll see it up on the screen. 555-888. And in the line, you type in my gift. And you'll be given a spiritual gift test right there online. Isn't that stinking cool, huh? at his tabernacle. Listen, my goal is to make sure that you are equipped for the work of the ministry, brought to unity and brought to maturity. By the way, that's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 15. You see, God wants to empower you, strengthen you. God wants you to know where you're going. God doesn't want you lost, because your vision, coupled with the house's vision, always brings, shout it out loud, my vision, coupled with the house's vision, always brings provision. When your gifts are used in the anointing, you're going to find you'll have two gifts, a strong one and one that's just barely under it. You'll have two gifts that are being most prominent in your life, first and secondary. And when you find out your vision, this is what I want you to skew your gifts and talents. This is what I want you to do. I want you to start asking the Holy Spirit what the vision is and why he gave you those gifts. Why, God, did you give me those gifts? There's a man who came to me this morning, and he's a tractor-trailer driver. So he's gone usually 5 to 6, 5 to 7 days a week, depending on where it takes him, all over the world. And this is what he said to me. He said, Pastor, after seeing that, I have a desire. He says, I see that we have a Facebook page that says His Tabernacle Truckers Ministry. And it was started by an individual who ended up moving out of the area. He said, I really feel just compelled to be able to post on there to encourage the other tractor trailer drivers in the church that they have a brother that's real close to them. That is an encourager. That is an exhorter. You see, he recognized his gift. Now he'll put it as part of his vision. When Brad Garrett came to me, he said, I want to be part of the motorcycle ministry. I want to reach out to those that are lost, the hardcore guys. And then we have other people that have come and said, I want to do, Mike came to me and he said, or Pastor Dan, he said, I'd like to do a hiking ministry. You know, what do you mean a hiking ministry? He's building relationships, encouraging one another, strengthening. Listen, every gift God has purpose for. But if you don't know your gifts and talents, you're lost. So fill that out. Amen. Bow your heads with me this morning. I know today was a little bit more of a teaching message, but I know this one will change your life if you'll apply it to your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the gifts and talents that you have given to us. I thank you, God, that you have entrusted us with them. You gave them to us because of great purpose. I thank you, Lord, that this morning, in the name of Jesus, you have anointed us as your sons and daughters, empowered us with those gifts to do supernatural exploits for heaven, to manifest what your passion is for people that are lost and dying. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that not one person in this house will remain lost. Not one person in this room will remain to a place where they do not understand who they are. But God, every one of us will understand the scripture. Holy Ghost, bring understanding to us that we may run this race to the fullest that we can. That we will finish the course, finish the race, and Lord, be able to hear you say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness in our life. With your head bows and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you want to use your gifts for Jesus. You want God to wash your sins away. You want to know that if you take your last breath, that you're going to go to heaven. Maybe you know there's a sin in your life that is holding you back from the kingdom. And today, you need to repent. Make it right before the Lord. If that's you this morning, you either want to give your heart to the Lord or make your heart right. I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room? I'm not going to wait real long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3, 2. Last call and 1. I see the children raising their hand. They're smart kids. Amen. Amen. Let's give a hand to the children. Let's all stand to our feet. Listen, I really, this message usually takes me 3 weeks to preach. So you did really good at 40 minutes. And I just want you to know, as your pastor, Jesus is coming. And it's time to take back what the devil has stolen. It's time to take back this region for Christ. This is not about a one-man show. This is every one of us doing our job. Every one of us fulfilling our destiny and purpose and vision. Shout it out loud with me. My vision, coupled with the house's vision, always brings provision. Father, release blessing on each one. In Jesus' name, I declare that no sickness has a right in our homes. I declare, God, that your blessing will be upon everything we touch and we do for the glory of heaven. Lord, use us this week for your honor. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted. I said, everybody shouted.
Amen.
Make sure you bring your vision card to the front so we can fast and pray over them. Make sure that you fill out your generous campaign principle. And make sure that you serve Jesus all of your life.